This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome in Early Odds, another edition, 670 The Score. Jake Hassan with you once again and going to run it back. Last week we did two guests and I'm going to run it back again because I'm the one with the microphone and that's what I want to do and it's my show, so deal with it. But had to bring back again one of the fan favorites. You haven't heard from him in a while. Had to bring him back. We are now in the throes of college football. Did a lot of college basketball last week. Did a lot of NFL last week. So going to re-up on college football, and to do that we bring in the man himself. We bring back Reed Wallach to the program. It's been a while. Reed, find you obviously all of your work at The Early Read, at SI. You're fantastic at Reed Wallach on Twitter. What's going on, man? Welcome back.
Yeah, Jake, thanks for having me. Last time I was on the show, I think I said I thought Tennessee was going to win the national championship, and they lost that week on the road to Arkansas. So I guess I was putting a little bit of a detention, I guess, for the early odds. But I'm happy to be back on, pumped to be here. We're getting into the home stretch here of college football. Things are heating up, and I'm pumped to talk about it.
Yeah, your timeout is over. We remove you from the dunce corner. We bring you back, and we bring you back for another go. But obviously, like you mentioned, Tennessee, and we'll get into that game in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you first, big picture, start macro here, because we have a couple updates. We have a couple iterations of the college football playoff show and the expanded version of that. And we have to get into the TV product of that because they're up there at the panel not knowing what's going on. But anyway, what have been your thoughts the first couple iterations of the unveiling, if you will, of the playoff rankings? I think the biggest thing that everyone's talking about is the amount of Big Ten dominance, because when we and you talked a few weeks ago, we talked about that we thought the SEC was the gauntlet, like the SEC was just going to run this ranking and that was going to happen. And here we are now, it's November, we're halfway through November, and you have four Big Ten teams in the top five. And I think that that's a little bit surprising to a lot of people. What's your takeaway from the first couple of weeks of the ranking? And do you think this is going to continue with the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think Indiana, obviously, they're kind of the surprise team. So them getting into the top five is obviously unexpected. But I still think this ranking is run by the SEC, or what we're going to see the rest of the season is run by the SEC, because what it seems like to me is in a season where the top and just in the top 12, top 15, the top and the bottom aren't separated by that much. You don't see the Big Ten teams in the 10 spot, the 11 spot. You see them all not even ranked. So it's condensed around these four teams in the top five, pretty much: Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, and Indiana. And in the SEC, you still have these teams nipping and clawing. And even on the middle side of things, where you have your Arkansas and all those teams kind of live to beat a pretty down top half of the SEC. So I still think the SEC is going to determine how this all shakes out, even if the seeding is currently kind of positioned like the Big Ten. I try not to go too crazy in these rankings because it's still so early and these things tend to figure themselves out. Like Ohio State and Indiana play next week. One of those teams will fall out of the top five. These things tend to work themselves out. I do think there are some questions, if you were like to ask me who's going to win the national championship, I have no idea. I really have no idea. I have no future exposure in the national championship. I'm probably just going to wait to see the bracket and see who gets the good draw. The market will react that way too, but I don't see a real dominant team here. And I think it's going to be determined by path and matchup more than like, hey, we have this one team that has like seven different NFL defensive players and they're going to run the table and they're just much better than everyone.
So do you think that there's a team, whether it's an SEC team or one of these Big Ten teams, like do you think that there's one of these teams that could make a late break? Because it sounds like you look at that top four or five and you're thinking, okay, these guys are vulnerable. Like, is that, do you agree with that? Or do you think that the Oregons and that Indiana and Penn State, do you find them to be vulnerable and you think somebody can make a break here back into the top four or five? Or do you think that maybe these Big Ten teams are just going to be what it's going to be?
Yeah, I think things have really set up nicely for Alabama. This isn't even that I love Alabama so much, but they, if chalk were to hold in the SEC, Bama would make the SEC championship game. And so I think them, I believe they're at 10 this week. If there's a team that could really leap up the rankings and maybe get a bye or something, or maybe get into the top four, I'd say things are kind of opening up for Alabama here more so than any other team. Texas was the team to kind of replace Georgia. I still don't know how I feel about Texas. We'll see. They have a tough road game at the end of the regular season against Texas A&M and then an SEC championship game. So to me, if you want to try and find a team that can maybe see their odds shrink further, it's find that team that, like, if you want to game this out, because the SEC is all up in the air right now, if you could game out who's going to go on a run in the SEC, that's why the team I'd say is like, all right, you're looking for an odds drop. SEC team is where I would say, and maybe a team that can maybe leapfrog Texas now for that bye spot for the SEC team.
You mentioned Alabama, and I want to hit on them really fast because you're right. They came in at 10 in this week's iteration of the playoff ranking and the playoff bracket. And I think everybody's talking about it. You go on Twitter, and that's what everyone was talking about for about 48 hours after, is Alabama would be going to Bloomington if that was how it would be. And we all had a lot of fun with that. Mm-hmm. Is that an instance where you're looking at that and saying, I hope this happens because I would love to play on Alabama? Is that something you're looking for? Like, what of these matchups, if chalk were to hold and if this is what we get, is that the matchup you're looking at and say, that's what I want to play on? Or is there another one where you're like, please give me that?
Yeah, I would say if I had to forecast what's going to happen, either or, assuming nothing crazy, like chalk holds Oregon, Ohio State, I guess Ohio State would win the Big Ten. They'd probably be the overall number one seed. Oregon would fall to the five spot, setting up a potential rematch against Boise State, which would be pretty cool. But to me, almost, I'm almost interested in playing. I'm curious where the odds would sit on the team that doesn't get the bye and they have to play, but they play a G5 team, because I'm not the highest on Boise State. I actually think Tulane's a little bit better than them, but irregardless, the five seed might get dinged too far just because they have to play another game. Of course, you rather the bye, but we've seen in the NFL, for example, teams that play that first weekend, wild card weekend, they get hot and go on a run. So it might be if the Big Ten loser that is playing the five seed or even the six seed playing the underqualified 11 seed, I think those are the angles I'm maybe looking to play on a team that like could maybe go on a run and be too penalized for having to play that first weekend.
You mentioned Boise State there, and that was a team that we talked about at length the last time we talked, and that was the middle of the UNLV hype, and everybody loved them. But you mentioned Tulane. If you think somebody maybe takes that spot from Boise State, is Tulane the team that you're looking at?
Yeah. I think Tulane's better than Boise State, so they're like 10-1 to make the playoff. I think if Boise State were to trip up at some point, and I think they can, I don't think they're invincible. If they were to trip up at some point, I think Tulane is the easy call to get in, assuming they take care of business. They play Navy, they play Memphis, and then they likely will play Army in the AAC championship game. I like Tulane to win all those games and get to the playoffs. So, like, long shot playoff team, I have my eyes on Tulane. Like, people are talking up Louisiana now. Tulane literally beat Louisiana in Lafayette. So I don't see a world where Louisiana gets in. So Tulane's the team that I've been circling the last few weeks.
Want to ask you a couple more questions, two more teams I want to hit on before we get into the games for this week. First, I mean, what do you make of BYU Reed, because it feels like they come in at six and everyone's talking them up now and everyone's saying magic season. And you know this is going to happen. You know as well as I do this is what happens in gambling. Team of destiny. Nope. Here we team of destiny, upset. And so what do you make of this team? Do you look at them and say, okay, if they get this specific matchup, they could win this game? Or are they just a team that, okay, great, good season, well done, and I'm going to fade the hell out of you once we get into the actual games?
Probably more the latter, I would say. Look, you win your games, right? Like
the schedule's the schedule.
You can only ding so far, but they continue to pull out these wins and take care of business in a down Big 12. But the market's telling you that this team isn't legit. They're only laying 3 at home against Kansas. Colorado's actually favored over them to win the Big 12 just in general. So BYU's still not even seen as a shoo-in to make the playoff. Can they make the playoff? Absolutely, 100%. Am I going to be betting on them in the playoff? And price is good enough if they're like a big underdog. But ultimately, this team just doesn't have the horses. I imagine they have a tough finish here. I imagine they're going to get tripped up along the way. And then it's maybe they get in because they win the Big 12. But like, I think they could lose this weekend. They could lose next weekend at Arizona State. They'll probably lose in the Big 12 championship game to like a Colorado or something. So I am not buying BYU. But like, look, it's a good story. It's exciting. But, you know, I think it's more of that than like they're a serious contender.
And last one, let's talk about this because I keep referencing the last time we talked, but again, this is my show and we do what we want, and that's a point of reference. The last time we talked, Notre Dame was they were dealing with injuries already, and that was before they had even lost to NIU. So they've been through the roller coaster this year, and now they're back up to 8. They seem to have kind of settled the waters here. It looks like they're firmly going to be in the playoff, right? So what do you make of the Fighting Irish? I'm still kind of down on them because what do we know? I don't want nothing to do with Marcus Freeman in a big game with a pressure spot, but do you feel the same? What do you make of this Notre Dame team now that we've kind of hit the peak, we've hit the valley, and now they've kind of climbed their way back up?
So I think Notre Dame has benefited from the rest of the field not playing at its expectations. Like to me, that Notre Dame loss is like scarlet letter, like cannot make the playoff. You lose at home as like a 4-touchdown favorite to Northern Illinois, who like is maybe bowling. That's like a huge, can't have that. But the rest of the contenders haven't emerged. So Notre Dame is going to get in by default, assuming they take care of business. I know USC is still on their schedule, but USC is probably running out of bullets here. So I think Notre Dame is going to get in. They've been dump trucking all these teams, like full credit to them. They haven't played anybody, but they're running it up. So they're leaving little doubt. When we get to the playoff, I still wonder, and there's still injuries on that defense, like season-ending injuries. The offensive line has had attrition. I still wonder if Riley Leonard, like if that passing game can really hold up against an elite team. But yeah, like they're going to make the playoff. TBD if I really buy them as like a contender or anything like that. But yeah, I think they've eased the concerns that like, oh, this team like shouldn't make the playoff whatsoever.
Talking to Reed Walk at Reed Walk on Twitter, host of The Early Read, and find his work at Sports Illustrated as well. And Reed, let's get into the games this week now, and let's not even bury the lead. Let's get right into it. Let's get right to the Tennessee and Georgia game. And for all intents and purposes, it looks like Nico's going to play in this game, so it feels like that's where we're at, and I think we could just proceed as if that's going to be the final announcement that we get here. But Georgia, they're still laying points. They're still laying 10 and a half here at home. Obviously, they're coming off another disappointing loss. But this is going to be a twofold question, Reed, of how do you look at this game? Let's assume for the sake of argument that Nico's going to play in this game. Nico plays. How do you analyze this game? How do you break this down? And also, if Georgia loses, are they definitely out? Because we had Heather Dinich on going around the ESPN circuit saying, yeah, well, a 3-loss SEC team could still make it. And she specifically names Georgia. And you know Kirby's going to start going campaigning soon, too. So twofold question here. What do you think about the game specifically? And what is the fallout for the loser of this game?
So got to keep the company line. Got to sure. Make sure SEC team, you know, if anyone can get in, it's 3-loss Georgia. So I think they lose this one. It's over for them. That's my opinion. We'll see if we've seen the committee do what they want. So we'll see how it shakes out. But yes, I think Nico's going to play. The market would tell you Nico's going to play. It's like hanging around 9.5, 10. To me, I thought Tennessee may have been onto something with their passing game. I still don't think it's as good as people had hoped, including myself, but I do think this offense is starting to get it going where Georgia continues to go in the other direction. I was big on Carson Beck going into this year, the Georgia quarterback. He might just be a Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey merchant from last year. So this offense, to me, what's glaring is that they lack a true game breaker on the outside, like an NFL talent, a guy that you could just throw the ball to. If you need a first down, throw it to him. He's going to get you the first. They lack that. So I land on the under in this game. I know it sounds crazy low. It's 48.5 with Georgia and Tennessee fast-paced offense. But you look at these games that they've played. Josh Heupel's been at – this is his fourth game against Georgia. His teams have scored 17, 13, and 10 over the last – in those three games. So where you land on this Tennessee offense, it's probably somewhere in the middle between like the Hendon Hooker team and the Joe Milton team from last year. So I think – neither offense is really going to block the other one all that well. And I think both defensive lines can rip. So I just think it's going to be super conservative. We saw against Ole Miss, the defensive line got home on Georgia. I really don't trust Carson Beck throwing the ball downfield. I think they're going to try and avoid that. So I just think this game is going to be played in a phone booth for both teams. And like, it's like a race to 23. I honestly think Tennessee could cover. I just don't feel super confident because I can see this game getting away from them on the road, and we've seen Georgia kind of squash them. So I'm a little concerned there. I do think the under is the play here. Like, I could see, honestly, I think Tennessee can win this game. So I think it's somebody 23, other team 17, something like that, like low scoring battle. So I land on the under there. I think that's the path to least resistance. And obviously if Nico's out, you got to think that Tennessee's offense falls off a cliff.
And then do you agree with the company line you said, like, do you think that whoever loses this game, especially Georgia, do you think they're still alive? Or do you think it's just over?
I think three losses. In some years, I do think three losses can get you in. But with the amount of teams that are going to have similar resumes to Georgia with one loss or two loss, like at a point, you got to win your games, right? Like I was big on like Florida State should have made the playoff last year. Like that was kind of, I think they got hosed. So sure, I guess it could happen again where SEC gets the nod over maybe a better record team. But like to me, like how are you going to like reward a team that won, that did what they had to do? Georgia, they haven't done what they had to do. They've lost. And honestly, they've lost like kind of like not in crazy, like, they didn't lose in flukes. They went down like four touchdowns to Alabama. They kind of got like beat pretty bad against Ole Miss. And you know, if you lose at home to Tennessee as a 10-point favorite, like what are we doing here? Like eventually, like you are what your record says you are. And to me, three losses doesn't get you in.
Want to talk about the other game that's kind of the big game, I guess, if you will. But Mizzou in South Carolina, Mizzou catching a ton of points at South Carolina. Anything for you in this game? How do you look at this game? Because I think people are just going to go, open their app or whatever and say, oh, a top 25 matchup. Again. Oh, a top 25 matchup? More two touchdowns? Okay, I'll take the dog. What do you think about this game?
Do not take the dog. So South Carolina has been destroying teams. Like you want to talk about like a maybe like playoff disruptor. South Carolina's a few plays away from really being in the conversation here, but they've come out of their bye week. They beat Texas A&M and then they squashed Vanderbilt on the road and they're playing good ball. Their defensive line's been great all year, but now Lenore Sellers, their freshman quarterback, started to round into form, and Missouri, it's looking like it's going to be Drew Pine again. And I mean, you want to talk about one of the craziest results of last week. They scored two touchdowns in the last minute and a half to walk off against Oklahoma. Missouri's offense can't move the ball. If you subtract their game-tying touchdown drive, and then they had a defensive score, but you take out that one big drive that tied the game, they had like 200. They averaged like 3.4 yards per play the entire game. They're on the road against a surging South Carolina team. I don't know if I'm like interested in laying the points with South Carolina, but like Mizzou team total under. Like at over, like 17.5, I believe is implied. Like, I think that's a pretty solid look there. I don't think Missouri can move the ball.
Want to ask you last thing for the games. And then I want to hit you on the Heisman really quick too, at the end here, but
yeah.
I give you $100. I'm not going to do that, but hypothetically I Venmo you $100, Reed, and ask you, what do you want to put this on this week? Where are you going? What's the first game you're going? This is my game. This is my Reed Wall game of the week that I'm excited to bet.
All right, so if it's Reed Wallach favorite game, I got to stick to the brand here, and I'll give you a gross game. I like Troy catching 8, 7.5 is fine against Georgia Southern. Troy, down year, first year head coach, but they went to their third string quarterback a few weeks ago, and they've been playing much, much better. Caldwell, their quarterback, has his offense humming. Georgia Southern, box score fraud. They have two double-digit comebacks in the last month in the fourth quarter. Their defense is terrible. Their offensive line allows a lot of sacks, too. So I don't trust them to run away and hide here and win with margin. So yeah, my favorite bet on the board is Troy catching over a touchdown at Georgia Southern. That's like pretty on brand.
It is gross. You're not a little wrong there, but I love it. Let's close with the Heisman, Reed. And now Travis Hunter's your favorite. He's minus price of some places. Depends. Obviously, you got prices all over the place in this market. But Travis Hunter's the favorite. And he's hyping himself up. Deion's going campaigning. He's going campaigning. But elsewhere on the board, Dylan Gabriel's your second guy. Ashton Gentry's still up there. Cam Ward, obviously crazy stats. Curtis Rourke's up there, but I don't think anybody thinks of Indiana and thinks of Rourke. You think of Cincinnati. But is this right? Is there any bets to be made? Or is there anything that you're maybe thinking somebody can make a push here? Or do you think that this is just where we're at and it might just be Travis Hunter?
I think it's going to be Travis Hunter. I think the odds are starting to fall into place. I've been kind of banging the drum that Hunter should be the a pretty clear favorite here. With Cam Ward taking a loss, I actually think with him on a bye, him coming out of a bye, I think there's a case to be made Cam Ward has the second best chance to win the award. That being said, I still think Travis Hunter's going to win. I think he has a greater than 50% chance, like the market says. I think if there was a bet to make, it would be Travis Hunter, just given I think his odds should be shorter. But if you're looking like a person who can maybe get back into the mix or anything, it is Cam Ward, because you look at the case of the other two guys, Dylan Gabriel, the numbers just aren't there. I don't think he's going to be able to outperform Cam Ward and Travis Hunter's excellence. So I think he's kind of like taking up some oxygen. And for Gentry, I've been saying if he's not going to set Barry Sanders' record and make the playoff, he's not going to win. Nobody watches him. He's kind of just hanging out. It's like a really good season. If you look at like the history, if you're not breaking Barry Sanders' record, like there's a lot of guys like 300 yards off. Like all of a sudden, Ashton Gentry, his great season, no doubt it's fantastic, but it's not historic. What we're seeing with Travis Hunter is historic. And he's top five on both sides of the ball. That wasn't done by Charles Woodson. That wasn't done by anybody. So this team has become a winning team. And I think Hunter is the most likely winner. If you wanted to like take a shot on somebody that can move, Cam Ward, I think as he comes out of his bye, he has some easy games. So I think he could pad his stats and get back into the mix. But ultimately, I think Travis Hunter's going to win.
Reed Walk at Reed Walk on Twitter. New profile picture. He looks very handsome in, by the way. Find his work, the early Reed. Find his work at Sports Illustrated as well. Reed, appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Jake.
This is 670 The Score. This is Early Odds. I am Jake Hassan. We will keep the ball rolling. We're going to go to college basketball next with another guest. Colby Marcio returns to the show as well. Break all of that down. So stick with us. Quick break. We'll be right back. Break down college basketball on the other side. And before we hit the break, just want to say stop by and say hi to Lawrence Holmes and Leila Rahimi today at Rally House in Wrigleyville. They're going to be there until 10 a.m. You can meet them and also enter to win a $25 gift card to Rally House before Ohio State goes against Northwestern at Wrigley Field in their football game today. So from tees to hoodies, jackets to game day flair, there's something for every fan at Rally House. And also, Lawrence and Layla are the best. So that's the real ticket here. You get to talk to them and hang out with them. So go there. They're there until 10 a.m. and hang out with them. This is Early Odds, 670 The Score. Jake Hassan. We'll be right back.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the break.
All right, welcome back. Early odds rolls on here. Jake Hassan with you. And as promised, we are going to get into college basketball because we've had a couple heavyweight games. A lot's been moving and shaking in the college basketball landscape. Last segment, we talked college football, but now we'll spin it to the hardwood. And to do that, had to welcome back my guy, Colby Marcio, Betting News. And he is just the absolute degenerate of the degenerates. He's in here in the mud. The other day we were talking and we got a new nickname for him. We're calling him the janitor now because he's just in the middle of all the stink finding bets for the people. So Colby, my man, welcome back. Appreciate you joining the show again.
You know, I thought I would have to wait till the next baseball season.
No.
This made my whole week. I'm so excited to get nasty with you. Is it the best time for college basketball? I would lean no, but it's disgusting. I never feel confident in non-conference. It's diabolical. I don't feel confident until 2025, but here we are. We're going to dive into it. There's been some great games.
Yep.
I'm excited. I appreciate you having me on again.
Yeah, of course, buddy. And let me actually, because you brought up something that I want to ask you about, because right now, I mean, it's the middle of November. We're halfway through November. And like you said, it's non-conference. A lot of these games are gross. We had a couple of heavyweight games. Obviously, earlier this week, we had a couple of those good non-conference games. And we'll talk about that in a second. But you bring up the point of these games are disgusting and not a lot of people are paying attention to them. But for you and for people out there who are trying to bet these games, do you feel like that gives you maybe an edge in some of these numbers because maybe the books aren't paying attention because it's NFL, it's college football, we're coming down the pipe for college football playoff coming up, and that's taking a lot of the oxygen. So do you feel like some of these angles, even if they're disgusting games, even if they're UIC and Northwestern, do you feel
you knew I was on that.
Of course, but that's what I mean. Like, are there angles to be had here because maybe some of these books are asleep at the wheel?
It's tough to say because you bring up Northwestern, UIC. I faded UIC because they beat Yale at home, and I was trying to process, and I didn't really do all the digging, but I was like, when was the last time UIC had a respectable win against – Yale's a good team. Yale's one of the top teams in
couple
the
tournament wins. Season.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you the last time UIC had a relevant win, but I've been leaning on giving people that have never been on college basketball and they bet other sports like football, college football. Do not be scared of these big spreads like UConn -37.5. Creighton yesterday was 35.5. They didn't get the cover, shockingly. I don't know how Houston Christian came back and covered that game. They fed 14 points in the first half, I believe. But don't be afraid of spreads because – These teams are there to get ready for non-conference. They're there for the better teams. They're supposed to be destroying them. UConn, it's going to be a sweat in the first half if you're like, okay, I'll listen to Colby. He seems intelligent.
I'm not at all.
And you're going to take the minus 37 and a half on whoever UConn's playing. First half, they're going to coast. They coast every single time. I bet on them twice. The first two games they covered. And the first halves were so close. I'm like, why did I do this to myself? Why did I tell people that the big spread's worth it? And then in the end, second half, just foot on the throttle. Dan Hurley, my favorite coach in college basketball. He's perfect for the Big East. He's an absolute psycho, and I love him. Knowing spreads and just knowing it doesn't matter, you just want to murder every team you play, that is just a fantastic mindset.
Well, let's get into betting on these games then, because we'll talk about this slate, and I know it's not a great Saturday slate, but talking about these games, and you mentioned UConn, they're one of the heavyweights, obviously, but I want to ask you about some of the games we saw earlier in the week, and let's start just with the big one. We see Kentucky beat Duke. Obviously, Duke has, depending on where you're looking, one of the favorites for the Wooden Award, Cooper Flagg, and no, he's awesome. Nobody's taking that away, but they lose. And you got John Shire calling ISOs for a 17-year-old kid, and it didn't work out great. You're watching that game. I know you bet on that game. We don't have to talk about whatever the bets were, but what the takeaways for those teams, I mean, did you walk away from that game feeling like you learned anything about either of these teams?
I didn't bet on that game. It was the one. I bet on the other one.
Well, because you're the janitor. You're going for the corners. You're going for the ugly games.
I was betting on Maction football. We'll get in the other one, but Duke relies too much on Flagg and all the other younger guys. I don't want to butcher their names, but all the other freshmen, they rely heavily on those guys. And meanwhile, I'm obsessed with Mark Pope. I'm obsessed with him coming over with what he had at BYU. He's got the dream job. He's got an awesome team. He runs a fast style pace with good defense, and he's living the dream. He's a former Kentucky Wildcat, and you also get that name. So, like, that's just a plus for him at that job. I think he's a great coach. I think they're the much better team. That's why they won. And I thought them being a dog was hilarious, because you're gonna give 5 points to just another team that has a 17-year-old that's basically God to everybody now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason he's going to be the number one. And yeah, let's not get it twisted. I mean, Cooper Flagg, he played decent. It came down to crunch time, and he had a couple of mistakes that a freshman's going to make. But yeah. So you bring up Duke's collection of freshmen, obviously headlined by Flagg. Do you think that they're a team that, as the season goes on, as they play together, they could be more cohesive, and maybe they're just looking to get to the tournament, and once they're there, maybe then they kind of foot to the gas, like you said, with some of these teams in non-conference? Mm-hmm. Are they somebody that you're looking on like, okay, maybe right now it's not great, and the product, yeah, maybe there's going to be some bumps in the road, but come conference play, come the tournament, Duke is a team that you want to revisit maybe?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much they changed, because they're relying too much on him. He's not going to carry the load. He's too young. Like, there's so many – I meant to bring this up with the earlier stuff, but another thing I bet on, teams that have – experience. You got teams, you're facing guys who've been there around 5 years. You can bring Ryan Kalkbrenner, who scored 50 in his first game. He's an old man. No offense to him. He's an old man. We could have went to school with him, you and I, because we're so old and he's still there. But it's hard to rely on a kid and have him carry the load when he has never been here before. And it's a different animal compared to high school, where you were a complete animal.
Sure. And so, speaking of guys who are old and have been there forever, a guy who's been in college since before me and you were in college, it feels like at this point, let's talk about Kansas, and let's talk about that team that's going on and what they have there. And they barely escape UNC. They narrowly beat them. And then they go and they take on Michigan State, and they win that game pretty handily. And so what do you think about just Kansas, what they're working with? Hunter Dickinson, who's 43 years old, as I mentioned earlier, but it seems like they have something cooking there with, and that's why they're number one. What's your takeaway for them? How do you evaluate this Kansas Jayhawks team?
Last year was a dumpster fire for them. I think they're a completely different team. I'm not a Hunter Dickinson guy. I think he's the most overrated guy in the country. Like you said, he's 40 years old. They love old guys there at Kansas. I can't think of the other guy who was there 10 years ago. Ellis. I can't think of his name. But that game, if I wasn't a gambler and I knew nothing about a spread, I'd be like, Kansas is going to destroy Sparty by double digits. And then someone asked me about it, and I went and saw that it was a 5.5-point spread. And I was like, you have to bet Sparty. You have to bet Sparty. It's a disgusting spread. I lost that play, obviously. But in the last few minutes, because they couldn't hold out, but Kansas is the real deal. I really hope that it's not – they don't have the same tendencies of last year where they have their foot off the gas against lesser teams and they don't have the injury problem, but I think they can get it done this season. I think this is going to be them and maybe UConn. I don't know. It's way too early. It's November to pick who's going to win it, but Kansas is definitely going to be a lot better than they were a year ago. And you kind of have to when you have my father's best friend, Hunter Dickinson, playing down low.
Yeah, and that, and like you said, that's experience too, that you expect that for an older team that's played together and a guy that's been there for 22 years already. And I think to your point, like, you, that's why you have a lot of these teams grouped together at the top of the odds board for national champion. You have UConn, you have Kansas, you have now Duke, and they're all around 12-1, Gonzaga as well. And before we move on to today's games for the Saturday slate, is there anybody down the board for national champion? I know you said it's early. Obviously, a lot of these teams are grouped and the prices aren't great, but is there somebody where you're watching them and you're thinking, all right, they're a long price now. This is a price that could change shortly or by the time we get to conference play. Is there anybody that maybe you have circled? And if you don't, that's totally okay.
I don't know what the price is on them. I really wish Gonzaga was not in the WCC right now. I know they're switching conferences, and they have to. In order for them to get better, they need to be in a better conference, a tougher conference that challenges them, like Notre Dame in football. They need to be in an actual conference to challenge that program. But they're loaded. But I was shocked how they lost in their last – or they didn't lose in their last game. They just didn't cover the spread against Arizona State. I in their first game, they wowed me. I had them against Baylor, and they destroyed them by almost 40 points. I think they have a lot of talent and experience, like I mentioned before. They're going to be interesting to see what they do, but it's the Zags. They always fall short. And they're a better team. They're a more fun team than when they had can't think of his name, the guy with the mustache that was Drew Timmy that was there for
Yeah.
My dad remembers when he signed his letter of intent.
Yeah, another guy who was around for far too long. God.
Yeah.
All right, Kobe, let's talk about the games tonight and this Saturday slate. It's gross. The heavyweight games, like we talked about, they were earlier in the week. But where are you going? Where are you finding some value? What are you betting on this Saturday slate that you're like, yep. That, and like you said, there's big spreads. There's some heavyweights, some tune-up games for some of these guys that are ranked in these, and waiting for March, waiting for conference play. But you're the janitor. Clean it up for us. What do you got? What'd you find in the nooks and crannies of the slate?
Well, let's just get the slop out of the way. I've had to circle since Wednesday. I like UMass against Hofstra. Hofstra's 3-0 right now. They're hot. They just beat Seton Hall, who has yet to score 60 points. Seton Hall looks horrid. Horrid. UMass won 49-48. Neither team scoring 50 points just means Seton Hall lost that game. Hofstra didn't really win that game. Seton Hall shot 47 from the floor, or actually, sorry, excuse me, from the line. They shot 47% from the line. Both teams shot under 38% from the floor. Just a disgusting basketball play. People that hate college basketball are like, this is what you guys enjoy watching. Yes, I love that. You didn't score 50 points. That's the most exciting game I've ever seen in my whole life. UMass coming off a double-digit loss to La Tech as like one-point favorites or whatever. They shot 38%, 23% from the three. UMass is a top 100 team in pace. Hofstra's extremely slow. Home team dictates pace. Bartorvik and Hagel metrics have this being around a five-point game. I expect this to come out around 1.5, 2.5 to UMass. I like UMass a lot. The Minutemen, give me the Minutemen.
I've always said this is a big Minutemen show. You have to go there whenever you can. All right. I'm going to give you the floor. We texted about it earlier. It's the moment. I know you've been waiting for this for the 12 or 13 minutes we've been recording this. Tell the people about, you mentioned the Big East, you mentioned UConn. Tell the people about what is quite possibly the best team in the city of Chicago right now. Talk about the DePaul men's basketball team. They're playing well. New coach. The professional teams stink. My line, I have played pretty well so far. I'm happy with that. that. But they're in Champaign. This is they are Chicago's team. But maybe the DePaul Blue Devils coming for that title of Chicago's team. Apologies to the 17 DePaul basketball fans that I've just offended. But tell the people listening why the DePaul Blue Demons are the best team in the city and the team to watch in the city.
I would say the most exciting team as a two-time alum. I'm very passionate about DePaul. I love DePaul. It was the best time of my life going to that school. But watching collegiate basketball there was the absolute worst. Being glad I was a women's basketball fan as well, because Doug Bruno is an absolute legend. Jake, let me just paint you a picture of what it was like when I was at DePaul. So I had to watch Tony Stubblefield coach, and then I had to watch Dave Leto chew and smack his gum on courtside and then not draw up inbound plays after a timeout, or during a timeout, I should say. Now we have a guy who still lives rent-free in Ohio State fans. There's always posts about DePaul, and they're like, play somebody real. Yeah, we all know they haven't played anybody real. Okay, they played Southern Indiana, went to OT. Then they played Little House on the Prairie, and then they just beat Mercer. So nobody's saying they're beating the most impressive teams on the planet. But Holtman is building something special there. He is just all summer long. I've watched so much stuff of him and just how he presents himself and how he wants to make something bigger than the program. He's meeting up with alumni. He's meeting up with season ticket holders and getting drinks with them. And he's meeting up with Big East diehards at bars. He is going to be the next coach that's going to be hanging out at Kelly's with Doug Bruno, and he is going to change this program into something special. And we live, Jake, we both know this. We live in the best city in the world. Agreed. Not too sexy when it comes to sports, but we can turn that around. And DePaul has the sexiest logo, and a logo can move merch, baby. And if you move merch, you got more money for the program and that new facility you want to bring in. I get excited, but hey, it only matters in conference. DePaul can do anything in non-conference, but you go to conference and you win and you get a couple wins under your belt, people start believing, people start bringing their rear ends to these games, and it don't matter where you're at on the South Loop. It don't matter. They will show up and they will put their rear ends in those seats. I think they end up being top eight.
Okay.
Seton Hall sucks. Villanova's not – it's not Jay Wright. The Big East is very top heavy. I think they at least get a couple conference wins, which is all I want. We're not winning no national championship in the next 3 years, but we're coming.
It's brick by brick, and it's a low bar to clear to make the fans happy. So
yes.
that is your DePaul Blue Demons update from Colby Marshall. Colby, on the way out really quick, because we're both big baseball guys, odds out there, your Yankees, Juan Soto's -130, favorite for to be re-signed by the Yankees. Are you nervous? How you feeling? Apparently a really good meeting with the Red Sox earlier this week.
Super sidetracked. You don't know how often I thought about when you asked me who's going to the World Series, and I didn't, and neither of us said the number ones. That lived rent-free in my head, and I hated that they made the World Series, hated the Yankees making the World Series. I wish they lost against the Royals, because they need to get Aaron Boone out of there. In terms of Juan Soto, I'm getting, you know, if they don't get him, the team is going to look completely different.
Agree.
So, I don't know what to think. I don't know why Blue Jays fans think they're going to get him. Why would he want to go up there? They're like, oh, but we can give him $1 billion in Canadian. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. How'd that work with Shohei Ohtani? I think would be my answer to that. But Colby Marcio, betting news at @C_Marcio2. Brother, appreciate you as always. It was great.
Of course. This was awesome. Thank you.
This is Early Odds. Jake Hassan on the other side. We will close out the show, run through my plays, NFL, college. And of course, as always, that was a teaser. A couple MLB free agent thoughts, because there are prices out there and a lot of them are really nice. So stick around. Quick break. On the other side, we'll close the show.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
All right, welcome back. Early odds, 670 The Score. Jake Hassan with you on this fine November morning, and we're going to close it out, last couple minutes of the show here, go through my NFL thoughts, my NFL picks for this weekend, and give you a thought, because it's a recurring theme, I guess, and I'm insane, of a MLB free agent bet, because those are up and you can find those, and I do think that there's some value on the board. So I want to talk about it, and as is the theme with today's show, I have the microphone, and so I'm going to talk about what I want to, but I think it's valuable too, which is why I'm bringing it up to you, the lovely viewers and listeners. But really fast, thank you to the guests today. Thank you to Reed Wallach at Reed Wallach on Twitter, talking college football, talking playoff, talking about games this week, tonight, today, the slate of today's games, and giving his thoughts on the Heisman as well. So shout out to Reed. He's the man. Find his work at Sports Illustrated as well, and his podcast, The Early Read. Shout out to our guy, my guy, Colby Marcio as well, of Betting News. He's awesome. Hosts some awesome Twitter spaces throughout the week that you should definitely check out. He gives a lot of really good insight. Talked college basketball with him, his breakdown of what we saw earlier in the week, of the big matchups that we saw, spinning that forward, and a little hype up of the DePaul men's basketball team as well, because they're playing pretty well right now. But as promised, it's just me to close it out with you here today on this edition of Early Odds, and a couple of interesting NFL line moves, nuggets, things to consider. And listen, it's Saturday. Most of the line movement has happened. You know, a lot of times you get the best number early in the week, but there is still some bets to be made. And I still think there's some things to be discerned from this, the news and the injury notes from the week. And one of those things, listen, Let's just start with the Bears. Things are bad. It's not great. And I think that's okay, though, because I think that, you know, we just had, it had to be reeled back in. This team was never winning the Super Bowl. Maybe they were a fringe playoff team and they still could make it. But talking about this week's game against Green Bay, the numbers moved. It opened 6.5. I would have never, ever had interest in the Bears at anything less than 7. And now we're sitting here at 5.5 and I have even less interest. I don't know how you go against this Packers team off the bye. Bears change offensive coordinators. Offensive coordinator, by the way, who couldn't call plays in Carolina. They didn't want him calling plays in Carolina. I know he was with the Rams, and the pictures and videos going around of him with Sean McVay holding up the Super Bowl trophy. Okay, well, you know what else happened? Caleb Williams said, yeah, I don't know. I haven't talked to him that much. Hello? What? So I have no interest in the Bears. If anything, I would only bet the Packers. So that's just my thoughts there. What else can you say about this team? You know, I do think it's interesting that the Rams are only laying 4.5 against the New England Patriots. Listen, the Patriots can pump their chests and go rah, rah, rah that they beat the Bears. It's the Bears, and the Bears fired their offensive coordinator after that game. And the Bears are a dysfunctional team. The Patriots still aren't very good. I think you're getting some value with the Rams here. I think the Rams, you know, better coach, better quarterback. I think Drake May is going to be awesome, but as of this moment, better coach, better quarterback with the Rams. So if anything there, we'll bet the Rams. Maybe we get to 4. I doubt it. So 4.5 is more than fine with me. Let's talk about another game where there was a quarterback change. Anthony Richardson is starting for the Colts again. We don't have to get into that situation and the flip-flop of quarterbacks, but listen, Anthony Richardson, for the mistakes he makes, he also has the big play ability. And with Josh Downs, with Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor, like, there's weapons there. And the Jets, like, how can the Jets be laying more than 3 against anybody? Like, Aaron Rodgers, who knows when he's going to call it quits on this season and take a vacation to Egypt or Brazil or wherever and go into a darkness retreat, because he's 40 years old and they're not going to the playoffs. And now they have Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach, doing practice, like basic practice tackling drills for them. Like, what is this, man? Say what you will about Shane Steichen. He knows how to play a close game. I think getting more than 3 with the Colts, I like that. I think we're probably going to move a little bit. Maybe you get 3, 3, 3.5. I like the Colts there getting the points. Maybe a sprinkle on the money line as well. But like the Jets more than a field goal. What bizarro land am I living in right now? And let's talk about the game of the week. I mean, Chiefs Bills and Chiefs catching points. And you have the Butker news, and he's not going to play in this game. The Chiefs sign a kicker off the Jets practice squad. Listen, I still think that at the end of the day, it's Patrick Mahomes who daddies the Bills more often than not, and Andy Reid who daddies Sean McDermott more often than not. You're catching points with them, and I know it's on the road, but Patrick Mahomes, pretty good history in Buffalo. If you don't believe me, go look it up. So I'm going to take the Chiefs here. I'll take the points. I'll take the money line. I think that there's a good chance they win this game outright because that's just what they do. Undefeated, by the way, in case you hadn't heard. Bengals, Chargers laying 1.5. It seems like maybe T. Higgins is going to play in this game, but I think I still like the Chargers because I know we're doing this again with the Bengals. If they played at this degree temperature on this day of the week instead of when they do, they'd be 7-4, 8-3. Okay, but they aren't. And the schedule's the schedule. I like the Chargers here. I would lay the 1.5 point with them. I think they win the game by at least a field goal. So I'll take the Chargers in that instance as well. And everything else, I mean, the only other thing that stood out to me was the Falcons catching 1.5 point against the Broncos. It feels like eventually the bottom kind of has to fall out for them, right? Like, it kind of feels like at some point this run, and listen, Sean Payton, great what he's done with Bo Nix, awesome, but I don't know. At some point, like, this has to come back to earth, right? So a little bit of interest in the Falcons as well. Last thought here to close out this edition of Early Odds on 670 The Score. MLB free agency, there's odds up of next team for the big stars, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Corbin Burns, guys like that. And one that stuck out to me was Alex Bregman, 30 years old, third baseman. Scott Boras is doing the campaign of, oh, well, he's willing to move to second base. Okay, I think Alex Bregman's a good player. I think that you look at his odds, and there's a team that stuck out. The Royals are 8-1. And I think that the Royals are ascending. They're on the track up. And they gave Michael Wacha a pretty nice extension. They opened the wallet for him after he had a nice year for them. I think they're ready to start spending money. And I think if you watch the playoffs, you saw it was just Bobby Witt Jr. Like, Vinny Pescatino, I like him. I think he's a future all-star, had some nice moments. And the ancillary pieces around those two guys are decent. But Salvi Perez ain't getting any younger. And I think that they need, and they have some nice prospects, but they need another guy to pair with Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pescatino. And I think Bregman could be that guy, that veteran guy who has a couple of rings. He can bring you that veteran leadership that you crave on a young team. And so at 8-1, I think that the Royals are a really decent bet, especially because they have no prospects coming up. Like, they have prospects, but they don't have anybody top, you know, 100, top 50 coming up that is a third baseman that, you know, would be, that Bregman would be impeding. So I think Bregman to the Royals at 8-1, I kind of like that look. That fit makes sense. The track that the Royals are on makes sense to me. So that's just an MLB free agency thought for everybody. As we close it out, this has been Early Odds. I have been Jake Hassan. Thank you again to Reed Walk and Colby Marcio. Thank you to the boys in the back for making this show go on the air and making it sound great. Thank you to you, the listeners. And if you missed anything, if you missed the live show, go back to the podcast. It all goes up there. But for myself, I've been Jake Hassan. This has been 670 The Score. This has been Early Odds. We'll see you next week. Boys, hit the music.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.